If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rich as Fuck podcast, the show where we talk about money, life, investing, and all things yachting. Today, I have the honor of sitting down with Hugo Ortega. He's the founder of Super Yacht Sunday School, a beloved yacht captain, and a new addition to the Below Deck series, I believe. We've been trying to lock this in for a while. Hugo's a really busy man, so I appreciate you coming out. And welcome. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, Charles. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Where are you finding yourself?
Right now, I'm in North Miami. I'm pretty much near Aventura, if anyone's familiar, or Fort Lauderdale for anyone that doesn't.
Nice one. Well, the varnish looks great back there. Looks like you've been working hard. And yeah, for those that don't know you, we obviously have a bit of a yachty following, and I'm sure most people would have stumbled upon you. But for those that don't, give us a bit of a background. How did you get into this messy business and all that?
Yeah. So like a lot of people that get into yachting, you know, we're either running from something is, I think, the common thread. So I had a life before this. I worked as an engineer. I worked in the oil and gas industry. And I just, you know, it wasn't for me. I studied engineering because I was really good at math and science. But, you know, I found myself, I wasn't satisfied with what I was doing. I was successful by, you know, a lot of people's standards. I had a new car. I had a nice apartment, had a loving girlfriend, had a nice big fat salary. But you know, something wasn't there for me. And for me, the biggest thing that I wanted to do with my life was travel. You know, I had seen growing up watching so many movies and dreaming of going to all these places. And well, if you don't know, in America, having vacation time is pretty much it's luck. It's not a right here. So you go to school for 4 years and you're still battling to even have 2 weeks. And it's not enough to see the world. You know how far we are from the rest of the world. Even getting to places like Asia take you over a day. So anyway, fast forward a little bit, and the company that I was working for got bought out. There was mass layoffs. And to some people, that would have been, you know, a downer. And at first, it was a little bit of a shock. I was like, shit, what am I going to do with my life now? But I was already really unhappy with what I was doing. So I tried to spin it the other way. And I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to go do something else. So I started backpacking, and I had always wanted to do that. I threw everything in a storage unit. I went on a big trip. And that was when I met one of your fellow countrymen. And I met my first South African while I was in Southeast Asia. And, you know, I looked at his, when we met, we were both going to the same place. We started traveling together, and, you know, he started telling me slowly about this job that he used to do. And he was a deckhand on a super yacht. And at the time when people talked about boats, you didn't go, oh yeah, like Below Deck. I mean, it was in the infancy back then. Yeah. Back then, the only thing that was in close was like, is that a cruise ship? Is that like a cruise ship?
Yeah.
And you probably remember that was a question we would all get at the beginning when we'd explain yachting to people. And, you know, he started showing me all these photos, how he'd be driving jet skis in the Bahamas, how he was going through the Med and visiting Saint-Tropez, Monaco for the Grand Prix. And, you know, for someone like myself at the time, I was so confused and jaded with corporate life. I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, this was like a calling from God almost. It was like, this guy's in my path to show me the next step. And, you know, one thing led to another. He started introducing me to other yachties. And pretty soon I was like, shit, like, I can do this. If all these jokers can do it and they had no boating experience, then I can do it too. And, you know, so the rest was history, I'd say.
That's so epic. And I think I know it's Wes that you're referring to, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wesley Walton. And, and now he's been on Below Deck as well. But back then he was just a normal deckhand at the time.
Yeah. A normal peasant like the rest of us. Yeah. I actually saw he just released a children's book about yachting adventures, which is really cool. So we'll give him a little plug in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely. It was funny because he'd always been talking about that. And I think once I started this business, we were going back and forth sharing like podcasts and notes. And I sent him some resources because he wanted to do that. And I was actually just catching up with him. And he's like, yeah, that podcast you sent me pretty much outlined exactly what I needed to do to self-publish.
Epic.
So that was pretty cool to help him.
That's really cool. I must say, I love, since I've always been pretty entrepreneurial, but never really took action in yachting. It's super busy. You know what it's like. It's kind of very hard for people to wrap their heads around working the hours we do and then trying to do something else. But if you find a passion, it's cool. And what I've really enjoyed in the past 9 months since starting this is how collaborative everyone is. Like from the beginning, chatting to you, you know, like sharing tips. The other day, you sent me a free copy of Hormozy's new book. Like everyone has an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset, which I always used to experience on land. It was always like zero sum. I cannot share my secret with him because that means it's going to fuck up my business elsewhere. Like, it's not how it is. It takes a village. You get more done when there's more hands. So shout out to you for that.
No problem.
So when I was preparing for this, I worked through some of your old like interviews and articles I found about you. And you were talking about depression and burnout as a landlugger. So obviously, this is a very prevalent topic in yachting as well. How do you deal with that? And how do you help students with these type of issues?
Yeah, so with burnout and depression, it's tricky because there are certain common threads. And I think there's more and more publications and stuff coming out about it in yachting. But, you know, it looks a little bit different to everyone. And for me, when I was feeling it, which was when I was back on land, you know, I was staring at a computer for long periods of time. I developed like this eye twitch. And that was when I was like, holy shit, I've got to do something. But I gained a shit ton of weight because I was too busy working. I wasn't going home. I was staying. Yeah, like I said, I was in the office for long hours. I felt pretty isolated. Probably very similar to a lot of people. When you graduate college, you move away. I was in a different state. So I started kind of going down this hole where I was like, is this what life's about? You know, you start disassociating from the people that are around you. I was like, everyone's just talking in acronyms. I really felt like I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I went into a dark place. And luckily for me, I think when that layoff happened, that kind of snapped everything. And I had some really good friends at the time who told me, hey, like, you've always wanted to go see the world. This is your call. And that was what kind of helped pull me out. And then after that, that plus exercise and then kind of a whole new life perspective really turned things around for me. But burnout in yachting is also happening because we're working long, long hours. Same thing. We're away from our families. It's a very physically demanding job. And I know that's something that's a big topic now. And that's why rotation, a lot of things are getting really prevalent. But so the question is, how do I deal with my students with that so far? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think luckily for right now, most of my students are at the beginning of their journey, so they're not as burnt out. Yeah. But what I try to do, and I try to kind of right now, the best thing I'm doing is just really preventative, like by telling people what's normal, what to expect, and kind of showing them what's five steps ahead of them. Like, look, everyone comes in here wants a charter, right? They're like, I want a charter. Well, let's talk about and dissect, what does it really mean to work on a charter yacht? Because it doesn't just mean counting $10,000 in tips at the end of the month. That means you're going to be working this many hours compared to possibly this other program. So trying to just educate that it's not just about making the most amount of money, because, you know, money is great. I mean, this podcast is aimed about money, but, you know, if money is the only thing that's motivating you to do something, then eventually it's not going to be enough, right? Because eventually when the hard times come or when the burnout comes or whatever happens, there's not another thing that's keeping you there. So that's why I try to push people into, you know, there's a few different reasons you can get into yachting. One, some people love the ocean. A lot of us, we love travel. Yeah. Some of us want the freedom. And I think keeping sight of that and making sure that that's the reason why you're doing it, right? You're not just taking this boat because it's a heavy charter boat that's always going to be in Bahamas. If what you wanted to do was travel the world, right? Because that you're kind of sacrificing what your dream is just to make money. And I don't think that's going to be a good marriage.
Yeah.
But in terms of also just once people hit those points, like there's a lot of resources that are currently popping up now, like especially like for abuse, there's IsOn, and there's a few different, I know, organizations that I have listed in the course and the community that at the moment, that's kind of where I would defer people because they've got the resources to kind of help people with that. But I always tell people, look, there's always another yacht out there too. So if you're feeling burnt out, if you're feeling you can't do it anymore, the best thing you can do is quit, reset, go home, travel, whatever it is that you love to do, like go find yourself again, because you're going to find another yacht. There's so many out there.
Yeah. I, I absolutely love what you said there, because I used to get a lot of shit early on. I'm very vocal about, if you're not happy somewhere, get the fuck out of there. Life's too short. Yachting is too short. Quite frankly, the industry is so transitory. If you think this rich owner really gives a fuck and that he wants you serving the cocktails, newsflash, he doesn't. So if you're not in a place where you're feeling valued or respected, or you're enjoying your peers, or you're getting rewarded enough for your hard work, leave. So this whole thing, and look, also on the flip side, like, don't just quit easily. Like, try and get your longevity and, you know, a year on the CV, the textbook recommendation. But if you happen to come on 3, 4, 5 programs in a row and you just can't hit that year mark, don't beat yourself up. Your happiness, your well-being, your mental health, all of that is way more important than what a crew agent perceives your CV is, looks at.
That's spot on the money. Like, I usually tell people too, like, you can always say a job was temp, right? If you get on there and it's a shit show, like, one thing I always tell my students is, look, every boat is a shit boat, right? There's always something to say that is bad. There's always something to complain about because it's run by people and we're imperfect. But if you get in there, you plug in for the first 2 months, 3 months, and you're like, nah, this isn't going anywhere. This is bad. Like, yeah, like you said, you don't owe anyone anything. And at the end of the day, the boat is going to be so quick to replace you, they're not going to think twice. So if it doesn't work for you, like if it doesn't serve you, get out of there. There's always going to be another yacht out there.
Yeah, 100%. That's very important to note, everybody. You heard it here first. Okay, so as you mentioned, this show's about money. And yes, it's not all about money, but it's a little bit about money. So let's talk about money psychology. So yachties are a pretty, pretty tough thing to grasp for the outside world, because if people hear what we earn, plus that many of our nationalities don't pay tax, we don't have the normal living expenses, yada, yada. Why aren't more yachties richer? What is your take on the psychology of money for yachties?
I think the answer is probably pretty deep, to be honest, because, you know, money psychology is usually very tied to our upbringing. And, you know, if you don't get educated about money, if you don't have someone walk you through how to use it wisely, then it's the same reason that sports players end up bankrupt, right? They get $1 million. And well, realistically, like for someone like myself, you know, let's say 30% goes off to tax, for that guy, probably 40%. So you also don't get the sticker price of what you think you're getting. But on top of that, you start making dumb decisions because you don't understand how far money goes or what it could do for you. So I think a lot of times it's just a lack of education. I don't know about in South Africa, but in the US, our schooling system doesn't focus any on investing, on what is a compound interest, anything. There's no, you know, they don't even teach you how APR and credit cards work. So it's a really bad system in general. But I think, so one is education. And then two is just, I think, lifestyle creep. If you're it's very easy that whatever, human beings are so adaptable. Like if you tell me I have to live on $500, I mean, maybe that's too little, but you know, you'll make it work. If I tell you to live on 5,000, you'll make it work. If I tell you to make it on 50,000 per month, suddenly you make it work. But you'll see that the expenses and everything slides up. And it's very rare that people are smart enough to go, okay, I'm making 50% more. Let me just only spend 10% more. So, you know, now all of that, at least I'm treating myself, as everyone loves to say, right? I treat yourself. Yeah. You worked hard for it, all that shit. Yeah. But with reason, you know, one pair of sunglasses is fine, but not, you know, a $5,000 spending spree when you only got a $3,000 raise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. And the treat yourself there, I get that all the time. I get quite a lot of hate on a lot of the videos and a lot of the podcasts, and they like, you forget about YOLO and you can die tomorrow and treat yourself. I'm like, yeah, but I would also like to treat my future self 10 times as much because I'm putting in the hard yards now. If I deploy my cash today to work in income generating assets, I can treat the fuck out of myself and my wife and my friends and her friends and then generational wealth after that. So, but I really like what you said. You're the first person on the show that's actually answered that question out of a where you come from, and that, you know, each of us were raised differently. I think a lot of people, like I didn't grow up poor, but I definitely didn't grow up rich. And same thing, education in personal finance and investing is non-existent in South Africa. So when you do find yourself suddenly in these billionaire playgrounds with, you know, lots of disposable cash, you quite frankly don't know what to do with that. But the school taught you how to figure out the circumference of a circle. So God bless the school system.
It's so true, man.
Yeah. What traps and mindset mistakes, besides lifestyle creep, do you also think yachties fall victim to?
Well, for sure, they want to emulate the lifestyles that they see, right? So yes, we're all not running out to buy boats, but it's very easy to see, well, I see all these Louis Vuitton purses coming through the boat. They're actually quite nice. Let me try it on. Oh, the Mrs. Bikini. So I know for the shoes, packing and unpacking everything and seeing all these, you know, leather goods, a lot of times it is really tempting to just go to the shop. Yeah. I mean, it's in the same bloody port that we're in. Yeah. And like we said, if you're making, let's say, a few thousand spare every month, then it's easy for someone to go, well, let me just drop 3,000 on this purse to treat myself for the summer. And again, those things aren't inherently bad, but it's, you know, I learned very quickly that, what did they say? If you don't shine a light on it, then it doesn't grow. But in the same sense, like if you're not paying attention to your finances at the end of the month and seeing how much really did I waste or spend on going out drinking and whatever, if you don't notice and you don't have any ballpark, then you're just swiping a card or you're paying with tip money. And at the end, it's very quick that you don't have what you thought you had.
Yeah, that's true. And then normally you only regret that when it's time to exit yachting. Now you're establishing yourself on land where you did not make an exit strategy. And now suddenly you have 7 Gucci bags, but you don't have a way to pay your mortgage, or you don't have a sofa in your house. One of my recent coaching calls was all about that. What is the best way to sell all my fancy assets so that I can actually start making rent, which was a fun exercise.
No. My missus would probably say Revolve. I think that's one of those secondhand selling websites.
Well, I might just send her away.
Defer.
So let's talk about building a business as a yachtie, because there's a few yachtie entrepreneurs, but arguably like Superyacht Sunday School is definitely one of the most flourishing ones. So congrats. But let's step into the nuts and bolts. Like, why Superyacht Sunday School? And then how did you manage that whilst being an active yachtie?
So the why, I think, is it's more philosophical. It's very easy for me. I felt like as someone who didn't grow up on the water, didn't grow up driving boats, didn't have really like any realistic reason to be here, so to speak, I felt like I always was trying to go above and beyond to prove that I should be here or learn or train, or, you know, I was always trying to digest information. And I think part of that's also because I'm an engineer mindset and brain. Like everything's very analytical, learn, process, get better, keep going. And, you know, college is an example of that and so on and so forth. So for me, when I got into the industry, like there was just such an overwhelming amount of stuff that I didn't know. But thankfully, like we mentioned Wes earlier, he was the one that really walked me through, well, these are the certifications you should get. Don't get these. If someone says that, don't do that. Let me check this, how your CV should look, right? So he kind of mentored me to get in, which was really appreciated, because I mean, there was people that I met while. So like he helped me get ahead of the pack for sure. And then I think my whole career, you know, we've all had good managers or good leaders, and then we've had bad ones. And the bad ones sometimes are more important because they show us really what we don't want to be like, or how we don't want to treat the next generation. And, you know, the more people I talk to, the more you get on certain Facebook groups that our industry has, like Yachty's Name and Shame, like you realize there's actually a lot of people that aren't in the interest of helping the next group. And I saw that when I was doing my captain courses. I saw that when I was in those groups. I saw a lot of people want to just keep other people down because they're scared that they'll take their jobs, or that they're going to ruin the industry, or they're going to whatever, you know, hang up and bullshit that they want to say. But for me, thankfully, I had at certain places, like the reason I became an officer was because I had the right mentor that, you know, walked me through from when I was a lead deckhand into what I needed to do. And again, I had certain captains that did inspire and pull me up. And I thought, you know, if we could make it more standard that more people could have that kind of treatment, then A, we probably have less attrition or more retention. Yeah. And two, we would have just better crew, right? Because even if you decide you don't want to be a captain, everyone, there's only one captain on the ship. But if everyone is more knowledgeable and more clued in on what should my contract say, you know, how does management work? How does this whole piece of the puzzle work? And how do I fit in? And how can I be the best that I can be while not getting taken advantage of? Like, that would only make the industry better. So I think for me, when it was during COVID, I started looking into things that I could do on land. Because I think at the time, my dream was to kind of have rotation, like probably every yachty that's listening to this, right? Spend some time on land, spend some time at sea. And I wanted to do some kind of business. And I didn't know if it was going to be brick and mortar. I didn't know if it was going to be online. But the more I started looking into it, and for me, whenever I've been on the yachts, we're traveling. And then whenever I'm off the yacht, I still like to travel. So I started leaning towards online business. And you know what they say, it's always good to teach what you know. And that was really the niche that I found myself in. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get this online business thing together. And I want to make, and the whole goal of Superyacht Sunday School is just, I want to use technology to make the life of crew better. So it started out, and it's starting out, you know, with the getting into the industry and the education. But I mean, I want to chase that in all senses because I'm a very tech focused guy. I mean, my business runs on a good tech stack. So I love tech and I want to keep making our lives better and easier because I think the industry is a bit behind in terms of technology and just acceptance of innovation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny for an industry with so much money and tech billionaires, it's super archaic. Like I'm constantly like trying new productivity software and all sorts of systems. And then, you know, Captain Cornbeef from the 1980s is like, no, where's your clipboard? I'm like, but come on. Come on.
Yeah. I remember when I was second officer. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, I remember being second officer and it's the safety checks that we were doing on the boat. It's over 500 gross tons. So, you know, there's a lot of paperwork. And I was like, yo, let's get this automated. Like I can get something on the tablet. You know, the report will automatically turn it into a PDF and we can set it to automatically email management. And then we don't have to keep doing this bullshit. And they were like, no, let's just keep printing it, writing it, and then fucking scanning it and sending it in. And I was just like, why? What are you talking about? And now it's a lot more standard on certain big boats to do it. But still, like you said, it's just so slow moving. It's like, why wouldn't you use tech to make things better? We already waste I've wasted $500,000 crossing the Atlantic in fuel. We might as well just pay $30 for a subscription to something that's going to make our job faster.
Exactly. I've been on the same boat for 4 years with a young tech billionaire owner. And that has made all the difference because any form of a recommendation we bring forward, he's like, absolutely, yes, simple, optimize like all Silicon Valleys, you know?
Right.
So you tapped into your why. Now tell me, how did you manage to do that while still being a good crew member?
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's actually funny because I started the idea, I think, when I took my first captain position. So I was captain of a 90 footer and we were in the Northeast. And I just started really in all my off time. I just started diving into a lot of information, YouTube, podcasts. I, you know, found quickly who are the market leaders in the spaces in terms of online business, online course creation, online communities. And I just started absorbing. And at first it was on breaks or between trips and all of that. And once I had enough information, you know, the first thing I did was I went and got a coach because, you know, it's obvious that you get to move faster, just like I move faster through the industry with a mentor. You know, you can apply that to all life, right? That's why personal trainers exist at the gym. So I remember I signed up. I'd been following my coach really closely. And as soon as he opened up his second boot camp at the time, I didn't even have a full website. I literally went, I bought my domain, I put a logo on it, and I just started spitting out some crap, stuck it on my application, and I applied. And he looked at it and he's like, you don't even have a website yet. And I was like, let's not get into the details. We're going to do it. Let's go. And that was how I started. And he, you know, he guided me and we had like a base prototype at first. And you mentioned in your questionnaire, that was when I had like some PDFs, some light guides, and it was more of just like accompanying resources. You want to get into yachting? Okay. Here's some like, you know, well curated stuff. And we just started going from there. And I ended up, by the time I left that first captain position, that was when everything was fully launched. And that was when I started taking phone calls and doing that. So I kind of laid the research and the groundwork was while I was yachting. Then I figured I'd take a break. And, you know, that's yachting, right? You can always find another job. Mm-hmm. And it just started picking up at a fast enough rate that I actually, you know, stayed away from the industry. I think probably almost a year and something. I probably went 15, 16 months just in that. And also, you know, living life. I also saved up a good nest egg for that period while I was on that boat. Again, that's one of the perks of yachting, that you can save a quick amount of money and you can use it towards not just Gucci bags, but deposits, you know, business startups, a lot of things.
For sure. And when, so you mentioned, okay, that's kind of the timeline when it went, when did it blow up? When were you like, okay, I need more systems because we have some volume. Like, do you have a team? When was that aha moment for you?
That's a good point. So let's say I launched, soft launch, let's say it was October 2022. By that January, we had, that was when we started blowing up more on Instagram. Blowing up back then, like we hit probably, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10,000. And we were like, oh, and we started getting more and more clients. I would say by the time I went, by the 1 year mark, I had some systems in play, but I really, the majority of my systems and when I really knew I needed to have it ready was when I went to Below Deck. Because I was like, oh shit, like I need to have this set up in a way that I'm no longer doing, you know, the BS part of it, you know, the more mundane, the more routine tasks. And especially if I go back to a yacht of some sort. To temp or to freelance or to film content, I need this to be able to run where literally I can just kind of like now show up, do the camera FaceTime and then, you know, some light stuff on the phone, but not have to be a slave to it. Cause there's a lot of hand holding and personalization that comes with it. And I didn't want to be the one emailing you the copy of this call. I didn't want to be the one following up on your questionnaire. I didn't want to be the one that's having to deliver, you know, your new CV and tell you what you're still missing and all these things. So that was, and my coach is also really big on systems too. He's also a former engineer. We actually went to the same university. Okay. So from the beginning, that was something he also told me. There's are you familiar with Atomic Habits by James Clear?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so exactly. You rise, you don't rise to the level of your goals, but you fall
to the level of your systems. Yeah, I love that.
Exactly. And that's what I've tried to make a practice. And even still, like whenever I feel myself not wanting to do something, I'm like, we need a system for that. So I no longer have to, because, you know, it takes energy to do anything. And if you're wasting your energy on just mundane tasks, then you're never going to actually grow the business either.
Yeah, I love that. And then what I really like about your, not just your business model, but kind of what you are doing fundamentally is the fact, and you mentioned this in another interview, like you speak out against the gatekeeping side of the other thing. And just as I mentioned to you before, this new wave of like, yachting professionals / entrepreneurs, like I feel like those gates are falling because it's like it's no longer a zero-sum game. So you are enabling a lot of people. You're showing them the tricks how to get in the industry. A lot of the older salty sea dogs are like, ah, just fucking unplug that TV show and stop telling people what we're doing because it's taking away from the coolness of it. You're like, buddy, calm down. Like, there's enough job. There's more yachts being pumped out every year than ever before. Like, it's not the supply-demand constraints. Yes, it's gnarly on the junior crew. But if you're already settled, like, you'll find, and quite frankly, stop worrying about the competition and start focusing on yourself. So I love that about your business, is that you're enabling. And in a way, same thing I'm doing with the Yachting Investor. Like, I'm trying to democratize financial literacy. I'm trying to show people, hey, you have a special opportunity as a youngster earning really good money. Like there's no need. The legacy financial systems want these things to be complex and disguised in complex financial jargon so that you feel enticed to employ them to manage your money. There's no need for that.
Right.
Everyone can do it themselves. If you can book an Uber, you can manage your investment portfolio. It's that simple.
Yeah. And it's gotten so simple recently too, with all the apps and everything you can do.
Exactly. So now let's pivot away from that. And now let's talk about the future of yachties. So a lot of people that listen to these shows on Yachting International Radio are people trying to get into it. And I put a little question poll up before this. And most people are asking, can I get a job with tattoos? I'm like, yes, good jobs, ethnicity, age, all of that. What do you say to those?
What I usually tell people is, one, the immediate answer is yes, right? But what I like to explain is I like to think of it like there's a, like some kind of continuum or scale, right? Like if you are a hyper, hyper beautiful white skinned person that grew up on the water, yes, you are the most marketable person, right? And like, if you were in the opposite end of the spectrum, if you were someone that is from a country that is very impossible to get a visa to get to America or to get to Europe, you're dark skinned, you don't have the money to afford any of the coursework, right? Like, you're probably the least likely person to get into yachting. So yeah, that's the continuity, but there's everywhere in between. And just because you're lower or higher doesn't guarantee you're going to get a job. It just, like I said, if you line everything up, it will make it easier. And that's, yes, that's a bit of privilege, but that's how life works. You know, the good thing that I tell people is that it's getting, like you were saying, it's more and more democratized and more accessible to people. I've got crew that are completely covered in tats. My student downstairs, she's one of my students and she's full sleeves on both sides. And she got into the industry a year ago and she hasn't had problems. Yeah. Of course, there's some yachts that she can't work on and, you know, that she applies to all the other ones and she gets calls back. Yeah. I've got a crew member. He's of Indian descent. He's worked in a call center and now he's on a yacht. So perfect. Even him, who comes from India, he was able to find a yacht. Of course, his journey was longer and harder. But again, that's where tenacity, that's where he is like the best worker ever. I would see on Captain's Group people talking about how early he would show up, how hard he would work. So awesome. He had a struggle, but he overcame it. So I think whether it's age, whether it's tattoos, ethnicity, whatever, if you really want to do it and you're willing to go, yeah, maybe your journey is going to be 10 times harder than somebody else. Maybe it's going to be easier. You know, like I've had people that they relocate and they found a job at the bar within the first 2 days. Granted, yeah, that was a really pretty girl from Sweden. Again, yeah, you know, the continuity is right here. But yeah, that's, you know, we all have to deal with the cards that we were dealt. And I think that's just where it's more and more important to try to stand out with other ways, right? Like really getting in there, networking like crazy, working really hard when you do get a job, spending a lot of time on your CV, like, you know, being realistic. I think that's the thing. Some people think that the job is just going to fall to them. And wherever you are on that spectrum, I tell people it's a full-time job plus more to get a job on a yacht. You know, it's not easy for anyone. It always takes work. So I try to just be realistic with people. But look, if you're willing to put in the work, like I have no doubt that it can work, even if you're disadvantaged, because, you know, that's life.
Yeah, that's really sound advice. Okay, I told your PR people, like, we're not going to dabble too much with below deck, but I have one question.
Sure.
Obviously, the industry has a preconceived notion and a bias and an opinion about the show. I don't have any opinion because I'm yet to watch an episode. Was it what you expected? Did it exceed your expectations?
I think it exceeded my expectations. So I wasn't sure if it was I didn't know, the line was blurred. I didn't know if it was going to be a TV show based on yachting or yachting with a camera just on it, right? Like, you don't know what you're going to get. And I was pleasantly surprised that it's a little bit of both and it's a lot more yachting than I thought it was going to be. You know, some people think that, you know, you're just queuing up for the shot, you do the thing and that, or that there's a crew behind that does the work and you don't. Like, no, it's still yachting. People are just crazy. And, you know, after all the experiences that I've had, it wasn't even by far the craziest crew or experience that I've had. Yeah. So it's good to see that yachting is just naturally bad shit. And this is just adding a few cameras to it.
Okay, amazing. Well, that's actually all I needed to know. And I'm quite happy to hear that. So everybody, like myself, don't make judgments on something that you haven't watched or tried yet. This is bad. And I'm glad you had fun. It's obviously like you clearly had a good impression on people. And yeah, man, like if you like being in front of a camera, like fucking go for it, you know, get that clout.
Yeah. I think I always wanted to be on TV and I think it was a cool experience. And yeah, I would do it again for sure.
Nice. I'm happy for you. Now, to close us out, if you could do anything else in the world right now, except your current occupation, what would it be?
I think acting would be cool. After going on the camera, you know, I think it's, we have all the skills already from yachting, right? We get rejected by so many jobs. Yeah. We have fear that we'll never find another job when we're between work. And we use agents a lot of time and network to find your next job. So I think a lot of the skills might transfer over and it was quite fun. So maybe it'd be nice to see what the cameras are like without having the boat there.
Yeah. that's super cool, man. I can see that, you know, not a lot of people are made for it and you own it. So I'm super stoked for you. And then for those that want to learn more about Superyacht Sunday School, about you as an individual, like I'll drop all of this below. How do they get hold of you?
So if anyone wants to learn more about yachting, Superyacht Sunday School, me in general, a good place to go is our Instagram. That's, you know, a bunch of free content that helps keep you entertained at the same time, but also superyachtsundayschool.com. I've got heaps of resources, guides, and all kinds of stuff. But the most important thing, if you look in the top right corner, there's a free training, and that 45-minute training really breaks down really everything you can expect, what's normal, how the lifestyle is. And then more importantly, everyone wants to know money, vacation, all those kind of details. And then just, it gives you a little roadmap of what you need to do to find a job, you know? And I think there's so many people that have taken me up with that, and that alone has gotten them into the industry. So if you're just looking, is this really for me? Or you just kind of want a little push in the right direction, like you don't have to pay anything, you don't have to worry about anything, just go check that out. And that'll answer probably 95% of your questions.
Epic. I love that. And Alex Ormosi would be very proud of that lead magnet, my man.
For sure.
I'm really happy we got to sit down. I always learn a lot from you. And yeah, you're a good role model within the yachting business sphere. So keep up the good work. Good luck with your season. And hopefully we see you win an Oscar in a few years.
Sounds great, man. Thanks for having me. It's been an awesome time.
Cheers, man. Have a good one.